We thank you again for gathering us here this morning for worship. We thank you for everyone who's here. You know the things that we're thinking about. You know the things that we struggle with. You know exactly the things that we need to hear from your word. And so we ask that you would teach us today, that you would open up our eyes and the eyes of our hearts to see what you have for us, and you would give us hearts that would respond with faith and with love and obedience to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had a professor back in seminary. I went to seminary in Philadelphia, and he wrote a short essay. Some of you might have seen it or heard of it. It's called, What Can Miserable Christians Sing? And he wrote it because he was thinking about how Christianity, at least the way that he experienced it, and I think the way that many of us experience it, Christianity often gives the impression that Christians have to be happy, not just sometimes, but all the time. When was the last time you heard Christians sing songs that express the harsh realities of life, right? Life in a fallen world, right? Songs that look to God in the midst of anger or sorrow or deep disappointment or confusion. Right, songs that aren't necessarily catchy, that aren't necessarily upbeat, but songs that we might call brutally honest. It just doesn't happen very often. I think from my experience, I have experienced that. Maybe you have too. And you know, that can make suffering Christians, maybe you this morning, maybe you're suffering this morning, it can make suffering Christians feel like they just don't belong. Or at least that they have to pretend. Right? Pretend to be joyful in order to be a Christian. And for non-Christians, again, maybe someone here this morning, looking in and seeing that, you might wonder whether Christians are just fooling themselves, trying to mask, trying to hide, trying to deny the harshness of life. Are you allowed to come to church feeling down? Is there anything for you to sing? Well, the good news is that there is. See, the Psalms, right in the middle of your Bibles, right, the Psalms, they were the hymns of ancient Israel. They were the songs that God's people used in their worship. And as John Calvin put it, right, in the Psalms, what you find are an anatomy of the human heart. What do you mean by that? He means that you find every possible human emotion expressed in these 150 songs. Read them, right? From joy to triumph to fear to doubt to sorrow to deep distress. These are the songs that God's people used in worship. And God has put them in Scripture for our benefit. Right? He's put them here to teach us how to pray and to teach us how we ought to sing. So today we're looking at Psalm 44 that was just read for us. Well, what does this psalm teach us? Well, it teaches us how we ought to be honest with God. It teaches us how to be honest with God. You see, the writers of this psalm were nothing if not brutally honest, right? They don't hide how they felt. They don't hide their suffering. They don't hide their confusion. They don't hide that they've been doing their best to serve God, right? They've been faithful, yet they suffer. They even yell at God. Did you catch that? Hey, wake up! It's a question for us this morning. Why would God put something like this in the Bible? It would never make its way into a call to worship in most churches, right? Have you ever heard this? Read in a call to worship? But it's here. And it's here to teach us something. To rethink our faith this morning. Is your faith honest? It's something that I wrestle with and think about often. Is your faith honest? Because sometimes salvation just doesn't feel all that joyful. And in those times, do you and I dare tell God how we really feel? Because it's hard. And so this morning we'll look at why that's hard and what God has to say about that. We'll look at the cost of brutal honesty. If you like outlines, there's an outline in your bulletin, a three-point outline there. We're getting to point two already, so hang in there. We'll look at the cost of brutal honesty. We'll also look at the great reward of brutal honesty, because honesty with God is essential for our salvation. It's essential for our spiritual growth. So let's look at the cost of brutal honesty, right? See, Christians read this psalm, or don't read this psalm, or when they do read this psalm, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with psalms like these, because they can be embarrassing. In my parents' home in New York City, there are many photos of me that I find embarrassing. Right, especially those that were taken, can you relate, during that particularly awkward time in my late childhood, early teens? And I'm sure these photos have great value to my parents, right? Meaning. But when I see them, they make me cringe. It's a part of myself, a part of my history that I would love to hide, right? To delete, to erase, like it never happened. And you know, Christians can be that way when they come to a psalm like Psalm 44. Right? You and I, we can try to hide this. I recently heard a Christian give a talk on suffering, probably no one you know, no one local, no one that you would think, okay? And this man's message, which he said was biblical, claimed was biblical, was this, right? Christians on suffering, just bear it. I mean, to quote him, you have no right to feel bad. And my question to him, have you read Psalm 44? Because these people feel bad, really bad. And look, they're telling God all about it. And you and I, we often ignore, we often skip over these portions of Scripture. Why do we do that? Because they're too honest, right? They tell us truth that we don't really want to hear, right? For one thing, Psalm 44 teaches us that God's ways are mysterious to us, right? God can't be reduced to a simple formula, right? Where we do what we think he wants, and then what happens? We get what we want. Oftentimes, people try to reduce God to that kind of formula, and these writers are struggling because they're learning that God can't be reduced to that kind of formula, right? They're struggling because they're being beat down by their enemies. And they know that God is letting it happen. It's not that God couldn't stop it. The first eight verses of this psalm recount God's mighty acts of salvation, his great faithfulness to his people. But that was the past. Now, as we move on in the psalm, God's people are a laughingstock among the nations, right? Verse 14. And the psalmists, right, they tell God, you made it this way. You made it this way. And here's the kicker. Here's where I think we struggle the most when we lay this out. God did this in spite of their obedience. Right? Verse 17. We have not forgotten your covenant. We have not forgotten you, right? Or your covenant. We have not departed from your ways. See, they were doing the right thing. Yet they were suffering. Right? So much for a God who gives us what we want when we give him what we think he wants. Right? That's the mistake that Job's friends made. Remember the book of Job? When they insisted that Job must have done something wicked to deserve his troubles. They were wrong. You see, sometimes suffering comes even when we're faithful to God, because God's ways are mysterious. And that makes us uncomfortable. We wish that God wasn't that way. We wish that God was sort of like the ice cream man in the sky, right? That we want him to be. But there's more to the honesty here in Psalm 44 that we shouldn't miss, right? There's more here about honesty. You see, it exposes the weakness of our faith. See, the writers of this psalm, they were frustrated, they were confused, they were hurt, they don't hold any of this back from God. Awake! Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself! Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction? Okay, we read this and we say, wait a minute. How can anyone say these kinds of things to God? Right? How dare they? Even if they really felt these things, believers just don't talk to God this way. But here they are, right, doing just that in Psalm 44. We were on vacation a few years ago, and we had to fly there. We picked up a glass bowl for Tisha's parents. Bad idea. Why did we think that was a good idea to do that? Because they were taking care of our cat for us, which was nice. And the bowl was nice, but it was fragile. And so we had to handle it carefully, right? We had to wrap it in bubble wrap and soft clothes and put it in the center of our suitcase. You've done that before, right? So they wouldn't break. You know why we're so surprised when we read the honesty here in Psalm 44? We're so surprised because our faith is weak. We think that God is fragile, like that bowl. It's almost like we're afraid to be honest with him, right? Like he can't take it. Like if we're too honest, God will break. We think, you know, God doesn't want to hear about my pain. Doesn't want to hear about what I'm struggling with. Or we think, you know, God would be shocked if he knew how I really felt. And so we think we have to protect God from our true emotions, right? We think that he's too fragile. That's why oftentimes we're in church and we can only talk and sing about how wonderful things are. Or we can only tell stories when we have a happy ending to share along with them. Because we think that's what's expected. And in the end, I think what we really think is that that's all that God can handle. See, friends, how arrogant is that? For us to think that we have to protect God, that God needs protection from us, right? From our true emotions. And I mean, how dishonest is that too? For us to think that we can hide from God how we really feel. And how discouraging is that to those who are sad and sick and confused, right? Maybe you this morning. Those who feel the weight of life in a fallen world. But where the effects of sin are everywhere. We see them everywhere. We see them around us. We see them within us, right? The curse of sin is felt by everyone. Where can we take this pain if we can't take it to God? And yet he teaches us to do that right here, right? To be brutally honest. To tell him that life is not okay. To tell him that people hurt us. To tell him that we don't understand why he works the way that he does. To tell him even that we wish that things were different. Maybe even to be angry about the way things are. You see, don't worry. He can take it. He's bigger than we think. And you see, that's real honesty. And it's costly. It's costly because it exposes our weakness, right? For us to address God the way that his people do here in Psalm 44 means that we struggle with life and that we're not going to deny it. That we're going to own that. Many of us have been to Disney World where nobody's supposed to have any problems, right? You see, that's fantasy. But have we wanted so much for real life to be that way? That we've confused fantasy for reality, right? Are we in denial of the fact that we live in a fallen world? You see, we are if we're not honest with God. And God calls us in this psalm to be honest with him. And that's costly, like we've been saying, because it means acknowledging life isn't what it's cracked up to be. The world is broken. It's costly also because it tests our faith. See, it's one thing for us to be honest about our deepest, our darkest, our most troubling concerns, to bring them to God. But if we just stop there, it could be whining. It could be venting, right? Just complaining. It's one thing to do that, but do we believe that God will do anything about them? That God can do anything about them? Sometimes we struggle with that, believing that God can or will do anything about what we're experiencing. And so one way for us to protect ourselves from a disappointing answer is to be dishonest, right? God cannot let us down if we don't trust him with anything. You get that? If we don't trust God with anything, then he can never let us down. And so we will hide our suffering from him. It's our way of protecting God, right? Of keeping him from being the God who lets us down. But that's not what we learn here. Do you think these guys are concerned to hide their suffering from God? No. They wanted God to act. They believed that God would act. They were being brutally honest with God in the midst of their deep suffering. See, Psalm 44 teaches us that God doesn't need our protection. God demands our honesty, right? For two reasons. First of all, because we can't hide from God. A few years ago, my youngest son wanted to kill a spider. We were at a park. And I already told him, no, you cannot kill the spider. So what did he do? Well, he picked up a stick, and he tried to walk past me with the stick held up against the leg like this. He tried to hide. But the problem was that I saw all of it. And you see, likewise, we can't hide from God. Right? God sees everything, our emotions, our struggles. God sees those things already, and he demands our honesty. So that's one reason why God demands our honesty, because he sees everything already. But there's another reason for honesty. What is that? Is that honesty is essential, it's necessary, it's required for our salvation. See, only honesty, only being truthful, can take hold of God's grace. Why is that? Because only honesty sees our need for it. If you're wondering, we're sort of in the third point of our outline this morning, the great reward of honesty. See, only honesty takes hold of the real problem. Only honesty says, you know, God, you are right. What you say is true. We live in a fallen world, and human sin, my sin, has made a mess of it. Honesty sees the problem. And when we're honest with God about our struggle with how life is like that, how life disappoints us or perplexes us or numbs us, right, or crushes us, what do? We affirm that our suffering is real, that it's not just some figment of our imagination, that it's real, that it affirms the truth of what God has said is wrong about the world. Do you ever leave things unsaid in prayer? Like when you pray, do you ever hold back, not say some things? God demands honesty. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, he was said, I can't verify this, but he was said to have worn out the floorboards of his room from pacing back and forth, sometimes all night. I think there's a scene like that in a movie, if you've seen a movie. But pacing back and forth, arguing with God. See, God doesn't need our protection. He doesn't need protection from our struggles, from our doubts, from our fears. He's God. And you see, real faith, honest faith, brings these challenges directly to God. And here's why. Why do we do that? We do that because we believe that God is the one who meets these challenges. God is the one who defeats these challenges. That's what the writers of Psalm 44 believed. Sure, they were confused. Sure, they were frustrated. Sure, they were impatient. But what do? They continued to look to God. Right? Someone has once said that the Psalms teach us how we ought to express our emotions. Why? Because even at their darkest, and there are some really dark Psalms. I didn't even read the darkest one. Right? Even at their darkest, they are still examples of God's people facing the right direction at the end. They're still facing toward God. So here we have, in the Psalms, examples of real people in a real world with real problems looking to a real God. We look at this brutal honesty in Psalm 44, how these people have the audacity to tell God, "Wake up!" And we say, I think it's a natural reaction, right? We say, look at how pretentious they are. How dare they say that? But the Lord wants us to say something different. He wants us to see something different. He wants us to see not how dare they do that, but look at how urgent they are. Look at how much faith they have. Even in their darkest moment, they believe that God is the one in whom they hope. God is the one that their help will come from. Because they know that God is the one who will redeem them out of his love. Right, verse 26. Brutal honesty leads to great reward. Why? Because our honesty acknowledges our real problem. Only honesty expresses our real sorrow, that we don't have to downplay it, deny it, say that it isn't real, that it's fake. And only honesty sees our real Savior. Right? Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, only those who are brutally honest call out to Jesus that way. Right, as our only hope, right, as the only hope of broken sinners in a broken world. Honesty with God enables us to see his grace and take hold of his grace as something that I need. Where have you seen this psalm before? Or not in a call to worship, right, but where have you seen it before? In Romans 8, a passage that we hear all the time. See, Paul quotes Psalm 44, near the end of Romans 8, where he writes, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And this is the part we're familiar with. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, what's Paul doing there in Romans 8? Right, what's Paul saying there when he quotes Psalm 44? He's saying, yes, we struggle. We struggle with sickness and with doubt and with temptations and with persecution, and with confusion, and with loneliness. Yes, we struggle, but we have a loving and powerful Savior. So we have nothing to fear when we embrace a more honest faith. So when you pray, don't hold back, because God tells us that he answers honest faith that doesn't hold back with a love that does not hold back, right? Our Father did not hold back, not even to spare his own Son, which is what Paul tells us in Romans 8, in order to defeat sin and sorrow, sickness and death, not just today, but forever. And so let's not pretend the world isn't so bad, so that we don't forget how precious and how good God's love really is.